This message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. At the end, we will give information about how to contact us to receive a copy of this or other messages.
Okay, so what did something different mean, right? I'm always curious what this guy's going to pull out of his back pocket. Well, I have a very simple goal. It's a big goal, but I have a simple goal for the night for you. My prayer is that you in your prayer life would be strengthened tonight. Specifically prayer life. See, there's a very famous quote that undoubtedly you'll know, and it's Robert Murray McChaney. Do you wish to humble a man? Ask him about his prayer life. How is your prayer life, saints? How is it? You don't have to, you know, rate it for me or anything. I don't need a show of hands. But the almost universal condition of Christians is that when they are asked about their prayer life, it's just incredibly revealing. Incredibly humbling, because we know something of what is called, what we are called to. We know something of what a healthy prayer life looks like, and then we look at our life and it's not like that. I don't need a show of hands, but if I had to say who feels like their prayer life is either healthy or really healthy, just deal with it honestly. Most of you are probably saying, no, that's not me. I'm somewhere lower on that scale. And I'm right there with you. I read the scriptures about what a prayer life is supposed to look like. And I often think, that's not me. Is that any of you? Do you hear that? Do you feel that? It's funny, I don't even have to press very hard on the subject of prayer because, well, any Christian that's at prayer meeting, they're going to be pretty soft and receptive to the idea of they need to work on their prayer life. I don't want to beat any of you down, but the conviction just sort of flows naturally, doesn't it? I just looked up a number of passages on prayer. I give you a few of them. And you ask yourself, is this me? Not me, is it you? 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Ephesians 6:17-18. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Is that you? Paul has this recurring theme in his teaching that the Christian is supposed to be just dependent upon God. Utterly dependent, regularly dependent, thoroughly dependent upon God. And the way that that's expressed is very centrally prayer. Prayer is the way that a Christian day in and day out is able to say, I depend on you, God. So Paul's always pointing to it. You don't have to look very far in Paul's teachings to see the emphasis he places on our prayer life. About this is what it should look like. This is what the normal, healthy Christian life looks like. And man, is it convicting that the normal is so few of us. Now, I give you credit in this room that there are a number of you that are prayer warriors. And we rejoice in you, the person who always wants to say, so what can I do, what can I pray for? You know, you're thinking, I wasn't talking about that. You don't have to pray for me. No, but they say, what can I pray for you for? They're the people who can say in all honesty, I heard you mention that 2 weeks ago. I've been praying for you ever since. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? But that's kind of exceptional. That is not our normal Christian experience. And man, is it humbling to look at what Scripture calls us to. This just total dependence upon God, a regularity of prayer that just we would be characterized as a prayer for people. And then we look at us and we're like, I don't know what characterizes me, but it's not prayer. So I'm mulling this for my own soul and for yours. Why do we struggle? Why do we struggle with something that on one hand is incredibly easy? Right? Because I mean, superficially, isn't prayer just actually really simple? There's no place you can't do it. There's no time you can't do it. There's like no circumstance that can stop you from prayer. On the other side, there's always something to pray about. Always. Right? So it's not like we lack supply or demand. And yet, it is so hard. Why do we struggle at something that should be so easy? I think, you know, if you're thinking about why do we struggle at prayer, almost certainly we all have the same circumstance card. We all have a life that seems too busy, too full, too distracted, too ungodly, whatever it is. We all have some circumstance that we would say, this is what's making it really hard for me to pray these days. I think we struggle also because sometimes we just lack motivation. If I said, are you supposed to pray? You'd say yes. If I said, why should you pray? Do you have a lot more that you have to say at that point? Do you have a lot more in your heart just bubbling over? Oh, these are the reasons I pray. I hope you do, but if you find yourself saying, no, it's not really me, well, you're kind of like me then. I think we struggle to pray because it doesn't seem useful. Okay, right now I can either do something or I can pray. That's how we think of it, right? And what needs to happen right now is someone needs to do something. I know prayer is good, but I don't have time for this. We need to get things done. Right? Do any of you busy people really identify with that? I get things done, and prayer doesn't feel like it does anything. So like I said, back to my main purpose for this evening, is I want to give you ammunition for the fight. Food for thought, food for prayer. I want you to come out of this evening. We're going to have a time of teaching and then a time of, I'm just going to ask you to just break out into some groups and we're going to talk about some things. I want you, because of those times, to feel like you at least have one more reason to pray. And one more fresh memory when the time comes up to say, why should I pray? I want you to be able to say why. So I have a short and a long point just from readings I've been doing that really, they touched my heart. And so I've got big quotes for you. I don't do this when I preach, right? I'm not a big quote person, but sometimes people just do things so well, you just want to share it as is. And so I recognize as a challenge to what I'm about to do. I know you all, hopefully you've got some dinner in your bellies. At the end of the day, you're kind of on the verge of drifting off, right? Yeah, I know it. So reading quotes to people, and especially I have a really long one for you, is a challenge. I know that. And so I'm going to ask you, be strong and courageous and don't drift off. Okay? I need a little extra attention span because I know listening to a quote is harder. Then after that, we're going to break out into the groups. And I know it's easier to stay awake when you've got discussion going on, or at least a smaller group that they'll all notice if you start nodding off. The short point for you, right? Short point and a long point. The short point for you, really another angle on this question. What does prayer accomplish? Now, the full answer to that is it accomplishes much. But the specific point I want to dwell on is a point from Wayne Grudem. I'm teaching the middle schoolers out of Wayne Grudem's Christian Beliefs. It's a distilled version of his systematic theology. This is what he said about prayer, and I just thought it blessed me. I wanted to bless you too. God does not want us to pray so that he can find out what we need. For Jesus said, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Instead, God wants us to pray so that our dependence on Him can increase. Did you hear that? Instead, God wants us to pray so that our dependence on Him can increase. When we come to Him in prayer about something, we express a trust in Him, a trust that He will hear and answer our prayers. What's Grudem bringing out there? He's bringing out something marvelous, I think. Grudem is pointing out that prayer is a critical way that we grow in depending on God, in building up that relationship with God. So when we ask, what is it accomplishing? Sometimes we're thinking so materialistically. Chores need to get done. Money needs to be earned. Dinner needs to be cooked. Whatever, right? We're thinking just materially. So we say, what does it accomplish? And we're totally missing a whole aspect here, that prayer is actually us investing in our relationship with God. The moment you go to your God in prayer, you are saying something, aren't you? Even before you open your mouth, the fact that you want to go to God in prayer is an expression of trust, and it's an expression of dependence. And if our life is meant to be thoroughly and utterly dependent upon God, then that has real value. If you are actually totally committed to, I want to follow my God and grow as He wants me to grow, then this is how that happens. The moment you hit your knees, you have done something in your relationship with God. You have said, I trust you, God. I depend on you, God. It's not merely about, is the request you came to Him with, is that granted? That's not the whole point. But it is also about, where do we stand with God? And that act of prayer is strengthening where you stand with God. I find I need that. Does that encourage you? Okay. Long point. You ready? Long point. Why does God command us to pray? Why does God command us to pray? So here I am. I've got these ideas bouncing around in my head, and I'm thinking, okay, it's time to start doing some reading. Figure out, you know, who can stir me up or teach me or just show me something I should do with you all. And as I start reading a sermon by Spurgeon on prayer, I'm thinking, he did what I set out to do. He did this. And he did it just magnificently. So I just said, you know what? I'm going to read a section of a Spurgeon sermon to you. It is that good. Now, this is the part. Willpower, people, okay? I don't want a single one of you drifting off. You're like, oh, man, what did he say? That was like three paragraphs ago. No. Stay with me. It is so good, okay? It comes from a sermon on prayer called The Golden Key of Prayer. You can find the whole thing online if you're so inclined. So here he is preaching, and he's preaching on this text, Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not. You ready? This is just so marvelous. And it is long, which is a blessing, right? You wouldn't want marvelous to be short. Okay, here you go. God's own people need a command to pray, or else they would not have received it. Why is this? Because, dear friends, we are very subject to fits of worldliness. If indeed that is not our usual state. We do not forget to eat. We do not forget to take the shop shutters down. We do not forget to be diligent in business. We do not forget to go to our beds to rest. But we often forget to wrestle with God in prayer and to spend, as we ought to spend, long periods in consecrated fellowship with our Father and our God. With too many professors, the ledger is so bulky that you cannot move it. And the Bible representing their devotion is so small that you might also put it in your waistcoat pocket. Hours for the world, moments for Christ. The world has our best and our prayer closet, the remnants of our time. We give our strength and freshness to the ways of mammon and our fatigue to the ways of God. Therefore, it is that we need to be commanded to attend to that very act which it ought to be our greatest happiness, as it is our highest privilege to perform, to meet with our God. call upon me, he says, for he knows that we are apt to forget to call upon God. What do you mean, O sleeper? Arise and call upon your God. This is an exhortation which is needed by us as well as by Jonah in the storm. Therefore, there stands written as an everyday precept suitable to every case into which a Christian can be cast. Call unto me. Call unto me. Are you sick? Would you be healed? Cry unto me, for I am the great physician. Does providence trouble you? Are you fearful that you shall not provide things honest in the sight of men? Call unto me. Do your children vex you? Any amens? Do your children vex you? Do you feel that which is sharper than an adder's tooth, a thankless child? Call unto me. Are your griefs little, yet painful, like small points and pricks of thorns? Call unto me. Is your burden heavy as though it would make your back break beneath its load? Call unto me. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In the valley, on the mountain, on the barren rock, in the briny sea, submerged beneath the billows and lifted up by and by upon the crest of the waves, in the furnace when the coals are glowing, in the gates of death when the jaws of hell would shut themselves upon you, cease not. For the commandment forevermore addresses you with call unto me. Prayer is still mighty and must prevail with God to bring you your deliverance. These are some of the reasons why the privilege of supplication is also in Holy Scripture spoken of as a duty. There are many more, but these will suffice this morning. We must not leave our first part till we have made another remark. We ought to be very glad that God has given us this command in his word, that it may be sure and abiding. You may turn to 50 passages where the same precept is uttered. I do not often read in Scripture, you shall not kill, or you shall not covet. Twice the law is given, but I often read gospel precepts. For if the law is given twice, the gospel is given 70 times 7. For every precept which I cannot keep by reason of my being weak through the flesh, I find 1,000 precepts which it is sweet and pleasant for me to keep by reason of the power of the Holy Spirit which dwells in the children of God. And this command to pray is insisted upon again and again. It may be a seasonable exercise for some of you to find out how often in Scripture you are told to pray. You will be surprised to find how many times such words as these are given. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. You people, pour out your heart before him. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Pray without ceasing. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Continue in prayer. I need not multiply where I could not possibly exhaust. I pick 2 or 3 out of this great bag of pearls. Come, Christian, you ought never to question whether you have a right to pray. You should never ask, may I be permitted to come into his presence? When you have so many commands, you may come boldly unto the throne of grace by the new and living way through the rent veil. I read this whole sermon, and you just stop and say, oh, whoa, fantastic, because the thing isn't just that Spurgeon's good with words. The thing is that he is hitting it on the head time and time and time and time again. We need to be reminded of what prayer really is. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is a blessing. And prayer is a necessity for our souls. An absolute necessity for our souls. We are starving our souls when we neglect prayer. Ammunition for the fight. Food for prayer. This is where we are right now. I don't even know what time it is. How much time do we have left? 3 minutes, half hour, and an hour. You people are super helpful, I say. Half hour, good. That's perfect. Okay. I have three questions for you. I want you to split out. Use this whole room. I mean, look, we got a giant room here. Okay. Let's have some fairly small groups. Let's call it, 5 to 9. I know you guys will just form whatever group you want anyways, but I like to give instructions at the start. Three questions. Write them down if you won't remember. Or if you're the memory kind, that's just fine. Question one. What makes prayer difficult for you? What makes prayer difficult for you? Question two. What would help you to become more faithful in your prayer? What would help you to become more faithful in your prayer? And question three. This is kind of one of those hypothetical situations, but you will bless each other's socks off, I promise you. How would you describe the greatest privileges of prayer? How would you describe, what you see to be as the greatest privileges of prayer? Number one, what makes prayer difficult for you? Number two, what would help you to become more faithful in your prayer? Number three, how would you describe the greatest privileges of prayer? You down? You good? You with me? You down? Okay. All right, good. So I want you to take, we've got 30 minutes. In the past I've told you guys when time was up, but again, I found it didn't matter that much. So I don't think I'm going to tell you this time. So enjoy each other. Take some time in conversation. See if you don't bless each other with some new perspectives. And then when you're good, we're good. So I'm going to pray. And then go ahead and split out however makes sense, okay? Let's pray. Father, what a blessing we have in prayer. And truly, forgive us because we have not viewed it that way. We have the most backwards perspective sometimes. And so we pray that this evening would be a time that you straighten us out. We pray it'd be a time that the treasures of prayer would be made obvious to us, that our hearts would take hold of them. We pray that what we talk about here would bless each other. We pray that we would go home unable to shake new things that you have shown us about how blessed we are in prayer. And Lord, we pray, make us a praying people. We ask for the help of your Holy Spirit in a work that's harder than we know why. Please help us to be a praying people. We ask this in the name of our great high priest, the one who showed us how to pray, Jesus Christ himself. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. To receive a copy of this or other messages, call us at area code 775-782-6516 or visit our website, gracenevada.com.